The coalition's plan to deport Sri Lankan asylum seekers has come in for harsh criticism from refugee and human rights advocates. Deputy opposition leader Julie Bishop says that many of the Sri Lankan asylum seekers are not genuine refugees. But some observers with a detailed knowledge of the situation on the ground say that the situation for many Tamils in the north of the country is still desperate. Tim Roxburgh reports.
If you're a Tamil living in the north, life is fraught with fear.
There are many people with a close knowledge of Sri Lanka that insist the country is not a peaceful and safe place for many of its Tamil population. Bruce Haig is a former Australian Deputy High Commissioner in Sri Lanka.
The Sinhalese have confiscated Tamil lands. There's a lot of molestation of women, beatings of men, and indeed men being and boys, teenage boys being taken into prison. The Tamils are very much a subjected group of people.
Shadow Minister for Foreign Affairs Julie Bishop says that Sri Lankan asylum seekers should be sent home without being processed because many of them are economic migrants.
The rejection rate for Sri Lankan asylum seekers at present is extremely high, the vast majority proving not to be refugees. And, of course, the conflict is over in Sri Lanka. The country is now in a reconciliation process.
Bruce Haig says that there's an element of truth to Julie Bishop's claim that some of these asylum seekers are economic migrants.
The economy of the north is controlled by the Sinhalese, and the Tamils are unable to do any more than subsist, either through making clothes or as fishermen or other cottage industries. So when Julie Bishop says, or when the Sri Lankan High Commission says that people are economic refugees, in a sense they're right, only because the means of acquiring any wealth has been denied to them.
Partly through discriminatory practices, is that what you're saying?
Totally. I mean, what's required in this situation is an international body to go in and stand between the Sinhalese and the Tamils.
Julie Bishop says the UNHCR could be used to oversee conditions in the country once asylum seekers are returned there. But Bruce Haig says that's not good enough.
A lot more is required than UNHCR supervision, and I don't think UNHCR would be prepared to get into that given the situation that's on the ground in the north of Sri Lanka. They'd be totally compromised to get into a relationship like that.
The opposition's policy could also fall foul of various international conventions and domestic laws. Rachel Ball is Director of Policy and Campaigns at the Human Rights Law Centre.
The policy certainly violates the Refugee Convention and several other international and domestic laws. Australia has an obligation under the Refugee Convention as well as several human rights treaties not to return a person to a territory where they would face a serious violation of their human rights. And the policy that would exempt Sri Lankans from Australia's refugee determination processes would also constitute discrimination on the basis of origin and nationality, which would give rise to issues under Australia's Racial Discrimination Act as well as international treaties.
Ball says that Australia would find itself isolated if it went down the path of deporting asylum seekers.
By deciding not to assess the refugee claims of a particular group or population, the Australian government would become a pariah, an outlier, in terms of its treatment of refugees.
Rachel Ball, Director of Policy and Campaigns at the Human Rights Law Centre, finishing that report by Tim Roxburgh.